The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolene Marks, how are you?
Well, I would never shout at you.
No, you wouldn't, but gosh, yes. So, but our listeners would, and you know what? I don't even mind that, because that's how we start a bit of dialogue. Rolene, you were telling me a little bit earlier, Sasha's reported it in the news, 70% of Israelis are supporting the death penalty for terrorists. That's a big number.
That is quite a big number. You know, the death penalty has been spoken about quite a bit over the last couple of weeks following the tragic and horrendous murder of three members of the Salomon family and members of our Knesset, high-ranking members like Lieberman, Bennett, and our own Prime Minister, Bibi Netanyahu, coming out saying that this terrorist should receive the death penalty. And it's always a tricky one to navigate, because if we do execute terrorists, do we then turn them into martyrs? So it is a tricky area to navigate, but I think Israelis, for the most part, most of us, enough is enough, and many want more stringent penalties for terror attacks like the one we had earlier today.
Mm. Just can you give us, we'll come back to the death penalty issue. Can you just give us a very quick update? What happened today and how is the victim?
Well, today a man, a 42-year-old supermarket worker, was critically injured when he was stabbed by a 19-year-old Palestinian co-worker in a supermarket in Yavne. People who were shopping managed to neutralize the terrorist until, as quote-unquote, the police were able to come and neutralize him some more. What has happened after that is that IDF troops have raided the West Bank home of the terrorist, and the doctors are working very, very hard to save the critically injured victim of this very, very brutal stabbing attack. And you can actually see the footage. I know the Times of Israel has shared the footage. Stand With Us has shared the footage of the attack. I've shared the footage of the attack, and you can actually see how Ismail Ibrahim Ismail Abu Awam, 19 years old, from the village of Yatta, attacked a 43-year-old employee of Shufasal, stabbing him multiple times in the chest, neck, and head.
This is a co-worker.
This is a co-worker.
That I find so interesting, Rolene, because, you know, it's so much easier. I know it sounds trite, but it's got to be so much easier to stab an unknown victim. You're walking down the street and you randomly find somebody to stab. A co-worker, surely that takes it to another level.
Of course it does. And when you consider that these perpetrators, these terrorists, for them we are reduced to nothing but animals in their mm-hmm. minds, to be slaughtered regardless of whether they work with us or not. So Abu Aram did enter Israel illegally without his permit. He has no history of terror activity, but if you actually look at the footage, it really is disturbing, not just from the injuries perspective, but the fact that he's walking along very, very nonchalantly, passes the guy who is stocking shelves, turns around and stabbed him again and again and again and again and again.
Absolutely appalling. And the Star newspaper will report how, the Saturday Star will report how Israeli soldiers just go and burn Palestinian children at will. Isn't it unbelievable when it's exactly the opposite to what the reality is? It's beyond words.
Well, it is beyond works. And I was actually chatting to somebody earlier today. Mm. You know, you and I were saying yesterday on air that perhaps Israel is the global conscience that nobody seems to be paying attention to. And I was actually speaking to somebody today, and we were saying that there seems to be this, maybe it's a genetically encoded, maybe it's something historical. We don't know what it is, but through the generations, whenever there is a time of strife in the world, we are the convenient scapegoat, despite the fact that we are really the watchdog of the world, if you consider how we have responded to Syria, to the issues of incitement and the funding of terrorism, to issues like the Darfur genocide, the Yazidi genocide, and yet this continues to happen.
Absolutely appalling. Let's just get back for a moment to this concept of 70% of Israelis supporting the introduction of the death penalty. Now, the death penalty has hardly been used in Israel. There have been a couple of exceptional cases.
Well, we know of two cases, one in the very early days of the state where somebody was executed for being a spy. This was in, I think it was June 1948. Mm-hmm. I might not have my dates exact. And the last we know was the infamous trial of Eichmann, and Eichmann was sentenced to death. But the death penalty, while legal, has not been used, and you know, because it's become a hot topic of late, I did some digging into it, mm-hmm. and it needs the consensus of several judges.
Ah, so it actually can. So there is a mechanism in place to institute the death penalty. Is that right?
There is a mechanism in place. I just don't think that prosecutors have sought the death penalty in cases, but today. These recent numbers, the poll was released by the Israel Democracy Institute and Tel Aviv University that was released today, and the poll says that 69.8% of Israelis would support giving death sentences after trial to anybody who murders Israeli citizens for nationalistic reasons, read terrorism, the percentage that would oppose was 25.3%, and 4.9% said that did not know or declined to respond. Also very interesting are the statistics about death penalties to murderers of IDF soldiers. And the stats weren't too different. In fact, 65.8% in favor, 28% against, and 6.1% not knowing or responding.
So Israelis aren't distinguishing between IDF soldiers and regular civilians. That's very interesting. I guess because at some point most Israelis have been within that system.
Exactly. And we even have movement from the Likud faction. Likud member of Knesset, Nava Boker, she has proposed a bill, in fact today, that would allow giving the death penalty to terrorists sent by a terror organization who murder at least two people.
Gimpel the Fool saying, don't be surprised, Howard. I'm sure that you saw, I did see this, that a Palestinian man murdered his 8-month pregnant Israeli girlfriend and said that it is to be a martyr. I actually did see the story, and I was actually wondering if this wasn't just murder for the sake of murder. And we know that the majority, a high majority of women that are murdered by their partners or their so-called loved ones. So I did read the story, and I did wonder if he wasn't just using that as an excuse, and that it wasn't just pure brutality. Did you follow that story at all, Rolene?
I did see the story make its way into the media today. It hasn't been one of my focus stories, but it did draw a little bit of my attention because of the issue of domestic violence around it.
So that's what I was thinking. I was wondering if it was an issue of that.
And also the killing of a baby. If you kill the mother and the baby's gestating, it's not one life, it's two lives.
Absolutely. It is a very, very, a very tragic situation. Staying with the subject of Israel and anti-Israel characters, Richard Falk was caught on various anti-Semitic Facebook pages. Just for anybody who might not know who Israeli is.
Yeah, Howard.
Yeah, are we shocked?
Well, we're not terribly shocked. I think I'll just hear the chickens clucking.
Mm-hmm. So give us a background.
Who, saying they're coming home to roost.
Yeah, who is Richard Falk?
Richard Falk is the UN special, or was the UN special rapporteur to the Middle East. He is notorious for his anti-Israel bias. He has come up with some of the most repugnant and ridiculous conspiracy theories, accusations against Israel, and he is denying vehemently that he is a member of these sites. But he seems to be popping up on more than one. He says the person that invited him or added him to these sites is somebody he doesn't know. But, you know, where this, if it walks, in this case, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And we know his background. We know what he's about. And certainly has never been an unbiased, balanced member of the United Nations. Unsigned SMS, Rolene, saying any Palestinian murderer would claim to be a terrorist in order to get paid by the Palestinian Authority. And, of course, we spoke yesterday about the fact that at least half of foreign aid to the Palestinian Authority is being used to fund terrorists.
It's absolute atrocious statistics. It's very, very worrying, and also worrying to me that nobody in the international community seems to be paying much attention to it. But maybe if the death penalty is introduced to more stringent methods, perhaps we will see a change.
Gimple saying that Falk is Jewish, a self-hater. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that. See, people always educate.
Yeah, except that I'm going to verify that bit of information. But we're going to come back to Gimple. I was totally unaware that Richard Falk is Jewish, as you say. But we're going to look that up in a moment. Nikki is saying, she raises a very good point. She says, well, if Palestinians don't fear death for martyrdom, do they fear, I imagine she's trying to say there, the death penalty? The supermarket owner that said should be charged for employing an illegal worker.
Well, this is, you know, these issues do come out of these events. So I'm sure that the supermarket owner or the manager will be questioned quite stringently by our security forces. And Nikki raises the issue, which I think is up for a lot of discussion.
Yeah, it's an interesting point.
Do they become martyrs, or does it become an issue that because it's Israelis who would have to carry out the sentence, maybe it's not. Will it inflame further hatred? Will it be used as an excuse? So I think there will be a lot of very, very heated debates, I would imagine, in the Knesset coming up in the next couple of weeks.
Absolutely. There was a very interesting, again, off the record, I think it was unintentional comment by Jared Kushner saying maybe there's no solution to the Middle East peace. Tell us about this.
Well, this is also very interesting. Jared Kushner was talking to members of staff, and whether or not the transcript leaked out, but it has come to the media's attention that he has determined. He says, "What I've determined from looking at it is there's not a whole lot has been accomplished over the last 40 to 50 years, and perhaps there is no solution. Perhaps it really isn't solvable." And this was in an off the record conversation with staff and congressional interns on Monday. And he actually said he's not sure if the Trump administration could offer anything unique to solve this conflict. And he said he did praise Israel's handling of the recent crisis over the Temple Mount. So I'll quote you directly. This is what he says. "What do we offer that's unique? I don't know. I'm sure everyone that's tried this has been unique in some ways, but again, we're trying to follow very logically. We're thinking about what the right end state is, and we're trying to work with the parties very quietly to see if there's a solution." And he says there may be no solution, but it's one of the problems sets that the president has asked us to focus on, so we're going to focus on it and try to come to the right conclusion in the near future.
Look, there's nothing that's really surprising there. It's not an easy situation to be in when you've got one side of the negotiations who actually doesn't particularly want peace.
Exactly.
I mean, the Palestinian Authority will not benefit from peace. The money will dry up. Therefore it continues. Unsigned has sent me the Wikipedia page. Thank you very, very much for that. Richard Falk was born into an assimilationist New York Jewish family, which all but repudiated the ethnic side of Jewishness. Defining himself as an American Jew, he says that having an outsider status with a sense of not belonging belonging may have influenced his later role as a critic of American foreign policy. The truth is, it sounds exactly right. It's a kid who always felt as an outsider from the Jewish community. Thanks, Abba and Emma. Thanks, Mom and Dad, for that. You turned your son into a hater, all in the name of your own agenda. Dean is suggesting, and in fact we've had this before, what will the death penalty help if they want to be martyrs? I know it's controversial, but look what happened when the British buried the terrorists in pigskin. Did they do that, Dean? I didn't know anybody did that. I have to tell you, I don't agree with that. I still think that you've got to. I know that that anybody who's a terrorist is not respecting anybody else's religion, but I think that my view on this, with this whole thing of returning terrorists' bodies, is that that they shouldn't be returned, but they should be buried in accordance with Islamic law. I think that you have to still respect other people's religion. That's my own personal view on that. I don't know, Rolene, I don't know what you think about that.
No, I think that there definitely has to be respect for religious practices. You know, you've achieved what you wanted to achieve by executing whoever. And now I think that respect the sanctity of their right to a proper religious burial.
Absolutely, absolutely right. We've got time for maybe one more very, very quick conversation. Tell us about the Venus. Now, this is the first environmental research satellite launched by Israel.
Well, we're very excited about the Venus. The Venus is, as you said, the first environmental satellite launched into space in the early hours of this morning from the Centre Spatial Guyanais in French Guiana. And it was launched along with a second satellite, which will go on recon for Italy's Defence Ministry. So while the satellite's not named after the planet Venus or any depilatory products, Venus is rather an acronym for vegetation and environment monitoring on this new satellite, and it is dedicated to monitoring the effects of climate change on vegetation. So we are very, very excited because Israel is becoming a major player in dealing with issues surrounding climate change, and it's also very exciting for IAI, Israel Aerospace Industries, and the State of Israel, and Yossi Weiss, who is IAI's general manager, said that together with our partners in Italy, France, we are so proud to see these flagship projects, the Venus satellite of the Israeli and French space agencies. I mean, Israel has a space agency. Who knew? And with Italy. So he says that he hopes that there will be the launching of more satellites where we will get groundbreaking information.
We know that there was that American launch a couple of months ago that went horribly wrong, and that Israel was part of that. They were also hoping to launch some spaceware. Then, do we know if this has they've managed to do the same here, or is this purely environmental?
I think this, as far as we know, is purely environmental.
And there we will leave it. Gimple being very, very rude. He's saying if you saw how ugly Richard Falk is, you'll get a sense of understanding about him. He's probably still a virgin.
Ooh, Gimple snap.
Ooh, and somebody not liking me today. The radio announcer keeps on searching for words at numerous times. What a radio announcer. That's in capital letters. Gosh, if you disagree with something I'm saying, let's rather deal with that issue. I think that's so much more mature. Rolene Marks, that's where we leave you. Love and leave you. You have a fantastic evening, and we look forward to speaking to you tomorrow.
Tomorrow? With my whiskey.
Absolutely right. It's 5:30. That was Rolene Marks with the Israel Report.